Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 61 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Mr. Weatherman Art Douglas Predicts the Future, about the long-range meteorologist's weather forecasts for the world, the U.S., and the Pacific Northwest in the months ahead. Douglas was the kickoff speaker at Northwest Farm Forum, which is associated with Spokane Ag Expo. The February 6, 2018 presentation was sponsored by the Washington Grain Commission. Yes, that's right. Your farmer-supported Grain Commission gets around, providing information and knowledge in many different venues and formats. As my longtime listeners know, I like doing weather stories. I interviewed Douglas at last year's Farm Forum in episode 10. I have done two episodes, 25 and 39, with National Weather Service meteorologist Jeremy Wolf. I also interviewed the director of Washington State University's Ag WeatherNet, Nick Lloyd, in episode 49. Lastly, in episode 57, I podcast a portion of the long-range forecast by DTN meteorologist Bryce Anderson, who spoke at the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention held in November. You can find all previous podcasts on the Washington Grain Commission website, wagrains.org. That's WAGRAINS.org. Bottom of page, click on summaries. Douglas, who is Professor Emeritus at Creighton University in Nebraska, has been appearing at Northwest Farm Forum since 1977. He has only missed one or two shows in the 42 years he's headlined the event, which goes to show why he is affectionately known as the Weatherman. I started attending Ag Expo Farm Forum as a reporter for the Capital Press in 1987, while Douglas was still using an overhead projector to illustrate his forecasts. He was a master at flipping quickly from one plastic overlay to another as he illustrated temperatures and weather systems, not to mention the scientific concepts associated with both. Today's technology is much simpler, requiring only the touch of a button on a computer keyboard to change slides on the giant screens in the Spokane Convention Ballroom. Douglas refers to the slides being shown during his presentation, but I think the gist of the forecast comes through without them, and for anyone who has attended Douglas's presentations in the past, I bet you'll see the slides in your mind's eye. Douglas's weather tutorials were the beginning of my grasping Northwest weather. His forecasts have always been interesting, but he's remained a crowd pleaser in part over his general skepticism about global warming. While the rest of the scientific community is yelling fire, Douglas urges calm and tends to play down man's responsibility in the mix. Well, for global warming anyway. You'll hear him indict other aspects of humanity as he answers a question from the audience near the end of the podcast. Thanks to Douglas, most eastern Washington farmers know that Pacific Northwest weather is greatly impacted by sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of South America near the equator. This phenomenon is known as El Niño, and there are three phases. The El Niño phase is a warm body of water. The reverse of El Niño, a cool water phase, is known as La Niña. Neutral is when there is neither one or the other. We are currently in a La Niña phase, which is not a bad phase for the Pacific Northwest and has reportedly been responsible for our relatively moist and cool winter. Douglas began his presentation, as he often does, talking about sea surface temperatures. This episode has been edited for length.
Okay, this is a map that I'm always looking at almost weekly. It's the sea surface temperature anomalies around the globe. And in this particular map, I've outlined three areas that seem to be really impacting the climate in the United States right now. One of them is the La Niña along the equator. Look at all that blue. Temperatures running about 1.5 centigrade below normal, close to 3 Fahrenheit below normal. La Niñas tend to favor drought in the southwest, and trust me, we have a big drought in the southwest. We also have warm water in the North Atlantic, and we know that warm water in the North Atlantic favors a ridge along the west coast of the United States, and we sure have the ridge. And La Nina also favors a ridge. What doesn't work out this year, though, is we still have this leftover warm water off the coast of California and Baja California, leftover from the El Nino of 2013 to 2016. So we have a favorable pattern for drought in the southwestern United States, but we also have this warm water that someday is maybe going to give some moisture to the southwestern U.S. So where is this La Nina along the equator going? And you can choose the forecast on the left or the forecast on the right. Forecast on the left is the NOAA forecast, which indicates through about 22 different individual model runs that it looks like La Nina is going to be basically here through October. Temperatures running about a half a degree to 1 degree below normal based on their ensemble model runs. On the other hand, we have another model in the world, which is called the ECMWF. It's a consortium of all the meteorological agencies in Europe that have come together to produce this supermodel. And look what they're doing. That model forecasts we're going to get out of La Nina and we're headed towards warmer conditions come the summer. Now, the impact on U.S. weather is tremendous. If we keep La Nina, this drought in the southwestern United States will continue to spread, including the southern plains, winter wheat area of the United States. On the other hand, if ECMWF is correct and we're going to start warming, then we're going to see an easing up of the drought in the southwestern U.S. and southern plains. I do an analog approach to forecasting, and this is the analog forecast that I have for what the sea surface temperatures are going to look like in August. Analog forecast indicates that real cold water on the equator is going to kind of fade away, and in fact we have a little yellow-green in there indicating maybe some minor warming. So personally, between the two, I think the ECMWF forecast is the one that's right, and the U.S. government forecast is probably wrong, because based on our data in the analog years, it looks like we're going to get rid of La Nina. How about the United States? As I mentioned before, we have a pretty major drought that's developed in the U.S. It actually started all the way back last February in the southwestern United States, in which the winter rains completely turned off at the end of January, and it's been dry since. But that drought has been spreading into the plains in the southeastern United States. And the real moisture over this 90-day period has been here in the Pacific Northwest, into the Northern Rockies, and then into the Great Lakes. So not a good situation for the southern half of the U.S. This is a percent normal precipitation map, the upper map, for the last 180 days. So in other words, the last 6 months. You can really see that drought in the southwestern United States. But if you really look at the entire United States in general, about 80% of the U.S. has had below normal precipitation. The bottom graphic shows the drought monitor map for the United States. This is a hand-drawn subjective analysis of where they think, NOAA thinks, drought is the worst. And you can see a vast majority of the country is under drought conditions right now. Vegetation index for the current month, February the 4th, upper graphic. Look at the drought that we have in California with a lot of red showing up, indicating that vegetation is really under severe stress. In terms of winter grazing, they're in really bad shape in California as well as Arizona. Now, the real problem is if you look at the southern plains up into the panhandle in Kansas, it looks like things are great, but they're really not great. And I can't quite figure out what's wrong with this product. It's a satellite-derived product. I was at the National Cattlemen's Association last week in Phoenix. There were a lot of people from Kansas, and they said winter wheat conditions are about the poorest they've seen in the last 10 years. So don't be looking for a good crop of winter wheat coming out of the plains. Okay, let's do the forecast then for the United States. As I said before, we have a La Nina. La Ninas tend to be dry in the southwestern United States. There's a lot of uncertainty as to where this La Nina is going in the future. It's at least going to still be here for the next 3 months. But after that, we may have some warming as we get in towards the summer. When I make a long-range forecast, I look at the upper-level height pattern at 700 millibars. It's the graph on the upper portion of this. It's at 10,000 feet up there. And we look at where the high-pressure ridges and troughs are. Now, notice this year in January, we had a big ridge in the western U.S. that was blocking all the storms getting into the west coast. We had another big ridge towards Hawaii. And we had a very strong ridge in the North Atlantic. This is a classic drought pattern for the U.S. Storm track is weaker than normal, and it's way far north of normal. In terms of sea surface temperatures, that warm water pool in the North Atlantic you see there in the bottom graph really tends to encourage the high pressure in the Atlantic to strengthen, which then in turn causes a backup of airflow across North America, and we develop a ridge in the western U.S. La Nina, we know, also favors ridge building in the western U.S. Again, that's why we have the drought. And we also have some warm water way out there in the West Pacific, and that typically is a precursor that an El Nino is going to come sometime within the next year to 2 years. How about the Pacific Northwest? This is the percent normal precipitation for Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and western Montana for the last 90 days ending February the 4th. You can see that drought from the southwestern United States has been spreading into Oregon. The brown's indicating less than 75% normal precip. But it's not until you finally get into the Spokane area do we see slightly above normal precipitation. And then get over there in Montana for spring wheat, it's been quite wet. So they're in pretty good shape considering they had a bad drought last year. We run climate indices in those boxes that I just showed you. And we compare each individual year with the set of about 13 different climate indices. The analog years that I chose are indicated there in yellow. So the top year there is 2001, 1956, 51, 94, and 2014. So those years, in terms of the current upper level circulation, sea surface temperature, they have good matches. And they also match what the GFS model, it's a NOAA model, is forecasting for the next 2 weeks. So these analog years look like they're evolving, just like the NOAA models, towards the forecast out there. Okay, so what's going to happen in the spring? The analog forecast calls for a high-pressure ridge to persist off the West Coast. This is going to be disastrous for California. They had some good moisture there in November. It started turning dry in December. They had a very dry January. It looks like they're going to have virtually no precipitation in February. And now you look at this forecast, complete blocking of all storms getting into California. In the Midwest, it looks like we're going to have a persistent upper-level trough. This is why they've had all these big cold waves that have been going down into Texas and Florida, and that's going to persist. So we have a northwest flow coming out of Canada into the midsection of the country. That prevents moisture from getting into the United States. And again, it's a very dry pattern for the plains. This is the forecast of temperature on the left and precipitation on the right for spring, March, April, and May. Notice the forecast is for a very dry northern Rockies, California, and very warm conditions throughout the western U.S. On the other hand, if you get towards the Great Lakes, a very cold spring, and wetter than normal conditions in the northern Corn Belt as well as the far eastern Corn Belt. So it looks like we're going to have some delay planting of corn and soybeans, especially in the northern and eastern portions of the Midwest. On the other hand, the drought looks like it's going to persist in California through Texas into the winter wheat areas of Kansas, and after having been a pretty wet winter, it looks like things may turn dry in the northern Rockies. It's not a good forecast, especially for early snow melt. It looks like we're going to lose the snowpack. In the Rockies, what snowpack we have is going to be lost pretty quickly. Here in the Pacific Northwest, yeah, you kind of have a wet March there, and then it starts kind of turning dry in April and maybe remains dry in May. So whatever moisture comes, it better come pretty quick for the Pacific Northwest. How about the summer? Summer forecast indicates the high-pressure ridge that we have in the spring is going to continue along the west coast. If not anything, it's going to move a little more inland, and it's going to move into Canada. This is a warm, dry summer forecast for the Pacific Northwest and Southwest Canada. On the other hand, we're going to keep that trough that's been in the Great Lakes there, which is going to give us a cool northerly flow. But in the summer, the flow is never that strong, so you get a lot of fronts coming down in the Midwest, but they can give you some good moisture. This is then the summer forecast of temperature on the left, precipitation on the right. Very hot, dry summer indicated for Oregon and California, and very hot, dry conditions throughout Texas, New Mexico, extending towards the panhandle of Oklahoma. The Midwest planting area, on the other hand, slightly cooler than normal conditions, that light green that you see there, and precipitation, as I said before, above normal because of these fronts coming, dropping down with that trough in the Great Lakes. Month by month, breakdown of the forecast, June, July, and August, temperature on the left, precip on the right. Look how hot that June is. That's really going to melt off the snow very quickly. Also very dry conditions in June. So we get into July, cooler conditions throughout the Midwest, and they kind of persist there even into August. Now this forecast is a classic early development of El Nino. We know that if El Nino develops, the Midwest tends to be cool and moist. And therefore, this forecast is, again, very similar to the ECMWF of saying, hey, it looks like El Nino's coming. It's probably not going to be a strong one, but at least we're not going to have a hot, dry summer in the Midwestern United States. La Nina tends to be pretty favorable for the Pacific Northwest. I wouldn't say this one's giving you the best weather, but it definitely tends to be more favorable during the La Nina. On the equator, every time we have a big El Nino, you always hear in the press, global warming is going to cause stronger El Ninos, more El Ninos, and we're going to keep on seeing then big El Nino events. So let's talk about what's been going on the equator. This is the sea surface temperature along the equator from 1948 to present. I've indicated the top El Nino years by their years in which the El Nino started. The black line indicates the average temperature through the entire period. Does anyone see a trend in this data? I don't see any trend in the data. It's pretty steady, that black line. I mean, it just goes up and down relative to that line, but there's not an upward trend in the sea surface temperature on the equator. Contrary to what you hear, that the equator's becoming warmer, El Ninos are stronger, they're going to be more frequent. I don't see that the frequency of El Ninos changed at all. Now, admittedly, that the biggest three El Ninos we've had were 1982 to present, but this is a really small sample size. And we do have data from Peru to indicate that, hey, there were other periods that had just as strong El Ninos as we have now. So from a global climate change, I don't think the equator's behaving any differently than it has 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, in fact, 100 years ago. Okay.
A question from the audience asked Douglas to sum up the forecast for Oregon.
The quick answer on that one is just look at the map in front of you. That's the forecast for the summer. Summer temperatures more than 1 degree above normal. Precipitation in Oregon, California, one standard deviation below normal. In other words, basically 30% of normal precip. So the answer is yes. It's a bad-looking year, knowing that they've already had this dry January and February.
Douglas's presentation included several examples appearing to demonstrate why global warming might not be the calamity most of the scientific community says it will be. A questioner from the audience wanted to know where exactly Douglas stood on the issue of global warming. Was it or was it not happening? And was man responsible?
There's no doubt in my mind that something close to half the global warming that we see is due to CO2 increases. But a half a degree due to human influences really isn't a threat to the climate. And like I tell people many times, it's really the overpopulation and it's the pollution that's more of a concern to me than it is actually that temperature. The temperature is just simply a symptom of what we're doing to the planet, and that's different. How quickly could the CO2 in the atmosphere disappear? if we all of a sudden stopped burning, it'd be about 20, 25 years. Good old planet Earth can come back pretty quick, can't it? Because that CO2 then is going to be dissolved in seawater, and that's one way to get rid of it. You guys are all in agriculture. You know crops love CO2. You're going to pull it up, and then it's going to go into the ground as humus and stuff. So, no, I'm not trying to say that humans aren't important in this debate. They're very important. I was just trying to say, hey, there's another component that is constantly being ignored in the debates, in Congress, in newspapers, and stuff like that.
That's all the time we have. I hope you've enjoyed episode 61. Mr. Weatherman himself, Art Douglas, predicts the future about the long-range meteorologist's presentation at the opening of Farm Forum February 6, 2018, an event sponsored by the Washington Grain Commission. Please join me again next time for another episode of Weed All About It!
Out in the country where a woman's called a gal, she's more than a lover, she's a farmer's best pal. We marry them for life, we marry with a vow, and even in the night we know how to plow. Our children have two parents, our children have a home. They don't grow up with no edible syndrome. We're the backbone of this country, the spirit of its soul. Best you ask for whom the bell tolls, we feed you, we feed you.